Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Amen. So last week I talked about the terms that are in the Bible, being born again, being a new creation, being a new man, and all those things that refer to a transformation from the old man to the new man. Amen. Then we read a couple of stories in the book of Acts how new creation people were acting like old creation people. Amen. So today I want to talk about how to start acting like a new creation person. Amen. And so, and this has to do with the church. And I touched on this a moment ago. A lot of people don't really understand why we go to church. And it's a terrible thing because this has been going on for 2,000 years. So you would think by now we would have grabbed why we do what we're doing. But because people are very traditional, people are very, very habit-forming, people do things out of habit, a lot of times you lose the reason why you do what you're doing. But the reason why we come to church weekly, and sometimes, depending on your tradition, two or three times a week, is because the Word of God has to be taught to God's people. If you are have read the Old Testament in any degree, you know that the biggest problem of the Old Testament is that they could not remember what it was that God told them about what they were supposed to do. And so therefore, because they didn't know and didn't remember and didn't do it, they ended up turning away from what they were supposed to do. Amen? That's the story of the New Testament or the Old Testament. Moses was given a law. Moses was told to teach the people the law. And then he was told, when the kings came, he told before Moses, before the kings were ever picked out, before there was a Saul and a David and a Solomon, God told him, and when you appoint a king over you, give him a copy of this book so that he can read it, study it, and do it. Amen? But we know that they never did that. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, because when Josiah took the throne and way at the end of the reign of the kingdom of Judea, they found the law, the book of the law, buried somewhere in the corner with mud and dirt all over it. And I'm exaggerating a little bit. I don't know what was all over it. But you know how it is when you bury stuff. Dirt gets on it, right? And so they hadn't read that book in so long. And then they read it and then realized, oh man, we are in trouble. We are in big trouble. Because we have not been keeping what we were supposed to be keeping. And that is why the church exists today. Is because the church is designed to keep the truth of God before the people so that they can know how to live their lives according to what the scriptures teach. Now, the great thing about our modern church, unlike the Old Testament saints, and also, unlike the new covenant or new believers under the new covenant, we have access to the scriptures. Amen? There were no Bibles. There was no Bible store. There was no Bible bookstore. There was no online Bible. There was nothing that the early apostles, the early church, and hundreds of years later could just go and buy from the store and just pick up and read. You can go to Dollar Tree now and buy a Bible for a dollar in America. Amen? So there is no excuse. Now you don't even have to buy them. You can get them online for free. So, but with all that Bible access, it's amazing that the church still doesn't know the Bible. And it's scary that the church, I'm not talking about the outsiders. I'm talking about people that say they're born again people. They don't know what the scriptures teach. I read to you guys a few weeks ago about how what some Christians believe were in the Bible. And I was reading some more of that stuff today. And again, it's just amazing. It's funny, but it's almost tragic. And one survey said that Christians believe that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wives. They were married to each other. In other words, they believe Sodom was a man or a woman and Gomorrah was a man or a woman. And so that was a married couple. These are Christian people. Now everybody knows what Sodom and Gomorrah is, right? What is it? Those are two cities. It's not people, those are cities. And the word Sodom is where we get the word sodomites, which is where we get that's what they used to refer to homosexuals as. So the word Sodom or sodomy or sodomites, that's where the word homosexual generated from. Now they obviously have changed the word, but that's where that word came from. Then they also said they thought the often quoted verse that God helps those who helps themselves. How many have heard people say that before? They thought that was in the Bible. And I can understand sometimes you think, oh, something might be in the Bible, but it's the continual refusal to just read. They said only about 35% of the people in the church believe that the Word of God is God's Word. And I'm talking about church folks now. 35% of the people that believe that they're born again believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, is God's Word. And so then there's no wonder why that we don't ever get over some of the basic problems of life. Because we're not embracing the truth, the power, the understanding, and the freedom that God has made available to us so that we can be free. The Bible says, He didn't say, you shall hear about the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's not what it says, is it? It says you should what? You should know the truth. And how can you know anything unless you do what? Read it, study it, learn it. How do you know your timetables? You don't come out of the womb saying 10 plus 10 is 10, or 10 times 10 is 100. 11 times 11 is 121. 12 times 12 is 144. At 6 months old, you don't do that. Amen? You have to what? You have to learn that stuff. Well, it's the same with biblical truth. It has to be learned. Everybody say it has to be learned. And therein lies the purpose of the church. So then when the church takes a turn and says, oh, I don't believe in the Bible anymore. We preach love and forgiveness. And all those are biblical concepts, but you can't preach love and forgiveness unless you deal with hatred and sin. Because why do you need love and forgiveness if you don't have hatred and sin? Amen? But see, that's what we get when you start to try to come up with a better gospel. That's not a gospel, as Paul says, but it's the musings of people. Trying to say, well, let's not be so offensive to people. Let's not talk about people in sin, and let's not deal with that. That's too hard. That's too much. Let's just talk about how much Jesus loves everybody. But he doesn't just love you because you're lovable. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. And if you start minimizing the reality of sin, you actually minimize the work of Jesus Christ. Because then you say, well, Jesus just died for a whole bunch of good folk and he didn't need to. Amen? That's why it's so important to know the scriptures. You have to know what the scriptures teach. And I know I've had you raise your hand and say, how many have read the Bible or have gone through reading the Bible? And I don't want to raise your hand now. But we have to make a commitment to study the Word of God. You have to go through the Old Testament. I know it's hard sometimes, but you just have to do it. Because if you don't read the Old Testament, you really cannot have the proper context for what the New Testament teaches. It's just that simple. They go together. And quite frankly, let me just put it this way. Those that wrote the New Testament were referring to the things that were in the Old Testament. They didn't just make up stuff. You notice how they quote stuff all the time. The just shall live by faith is quoted in Romans. Well, that's actually of the book of Habakkuk. So you have to read the book of Habakkuk to know what he's talking about. So there is a marriage between old and new. But that's what the church is supposed to do, is to bring the truth. So the first thing about becoming a new creation is to study the Word of God. Study, as the scriptures say, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. How can you rightfully divide anything you don't know? Amen? You can't rightfully divide. You know, and all you guys probably know this, but if you don't, I'm a lawyer by profession. That's my job. And in order to be a lawyer, you have to study the law, and you have to understand it. And then you have to argue it. And I just can't show up one day and make an argument and say, okay, I got an argument, Your Honor. And, well, what's your argument, Mr. Franklin? Well, you give me a question and I'll answer it. That's not how it works. You've got to present your argument before you ever go into the court, or they don't entertain your motions. So you have to do all the work before you get there, so that when they do ask you questions, and they do ask you questions from time to time, you have an answer. And that means you have to study it. You have to be prepared. You have to try to anticipate what it is they're going to say so that you don't stumble and say something that'll compromise your position. Well, if I need to do that just for a job, how much more do I need to do that for my life? I need to know what the Word of God says so that when the devil comes with a different theory, I say, no, that theory is wrong, sir. Let me show you where it's wrong. Just like Jesus said, you know, he says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a different theory that the devil was offering Jesus. So all this to say that we have to learn what the scriptures say. And this is where the law comes back into the new covenant. Now I've posted in here, there's a one on the door and then there's one back there, the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to go over the Ten Commandments real quickly, because this is a part of becoming a new creation. So let's go to Exodus 20. There actually are two spots in the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are given. One is Exodus 20, and then the other one is Deuteronomy, but we'll do the Exodus 20 version. So Exodus 20, verse 1. So this is actually God speaking from the hill. This is also, for those of us, and we've talked about this in the past, Exodus 20 is the first day of Pentecost. I mean, you knew that. Most of us only know the day of Pentecost that happened in Acts, but the day of Pentecost was an annual feast or festival. Amen? And it was the celebration of the issuance of the law. That's what the day of Pentecost celebrates. So this is the first day of Pentecost. And so God says to them, and God, this is actually God speaking. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Everybody say, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, so if you're going to be a new creation believer, that's the first thing you have to get rid of is all your gods. All your gods have to go away. Amen? Well, what is a god? Well, there's the gods that we bow down to, right? There are idol gods, you know. And I used to be naive to believe. I used to be so naive that I believed that there were nobody worshiping idols anymore. That's because I have never been out of America very long. But now you don't have to go out of America. You can go down the street now and you can see temples where there are idol gods that people bring offerings to. Now they don't, they probably do this too, but they don't do it in our sight. They probably all also offer blood offerings. But we don't get to see that part. Amen? So that's clearly what God is forbidding the children of Israel is don't worship gods that can't speak, that can't move, that can't talk, that can't tell you what to do. Don't worship things that are inanimate objects. I am the Lord your God. But then there's also those things that we put before God, which is ourselves when we're not born again, that we worship ourselves as God. That's what sin really is all about. Is you have said, God, I don't need your help. I can do this all by myself. So one of the gods that you have to put aside is you. Everybody say, me. Say it like you mean it. Me. We are our gods before we accept Jesus as our Savior. Meaning that we depend upon ourselves. We rely upon ourselves. When things go wrong, we try to rally ourselves. We do everything. We try to do everything ourselves. Now, we're not a very good God because we don't have enough knowledge to do what we need to do. But that doesn't stop us from trying. Amen? So the first commandment is you shall not have any other gods before me, and you shall not make any carved image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. This is verse 4. Or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. And God saying he's jealous. Well, why is he jealous? He's not jealous like, you know, he's jealous because it's stupid for you to do that and you're devoting yourself to something that can't help you. And so he tells him, you know, and he visits the iniquities of the children of the on their third and fourth generations of those who hate him and shows mercy to thousands of those who love him. The next commandment, he says, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So now a lot of people think that this is using, you know, putting God in the curse word, and that's part of it. But he's saying don't abuse the name of God in any way, shape, or form. Don't misuse God's name. That's why when he always told them, don't swear falsely by my name. You know, some people would say, and now we still take the oath of when you go and testify in court, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And you say, what? I do. And then you go to lying. Now you've just taken the Lord's name in vain. Because you swore to tell the truth and you lie after you swear to tell the truth. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That's the same thing as one of the other sins. But he says, don't mess around with the name of God. It's a holy name. It's a righteous name. It's a name that shouldn't be played with. And don't play with it. Amen? Then he says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, this is where church people get confused. Now, the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath day was commanded to for the Jews to observe, but the Gentile church was not given the command of the Sabbath. All right, amen. Everybody know that? If you need to go, and we'll go there in a minute. But the Gentile church, now don't get me wrong, it's good to take rest days. And remember what Jesus said about the Sabbath. What did Jesus say about the Sabbath? And what? And what's the second part of that? You're right. What's the second part? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? So in other words, it's not about rules and regulation. It's about resting. Everybody say resting. So God is trying to tell us, teach us, that you need to rest from your work. That's what the Sabbath is all about. But it's not a ritual, it's not a rule, it's a benefit to you. I mean, that, guess why we have weekends? Huh? Even almost every nation works 6 days and they rest the seventh, whether they call it a Sunday or a Saturday. So weekends were designed because you can't rest work all the time. You need a break. Everybody say, I need a break. That's why we go on vacations. That's why we try to get away. Jane and Unique, you need to get away from the monotony of everyday life. But that's not your life. You can't always get away. Sometimes you got to work. But Sabbath is for you to rest. Take time off. Put away work and rest. I mean, if you guys have a job, like, you know, I just had a trial last Monday through Wednesday. And no matter what, I had to fight to sleep because I kept thinking about what I needed to do for the trial, what testimony I needed to bring out, all these things I had to go through. And I would wake up 2 or 3 in the morning and start thinking. I said, Lord, I need to sleep. Please help me to sleep. And so God would help me to go back to sleep. But when the trial was over, I came home and I took a nap because I hadn't been sleeping that well. And I'm still like almost still recovering from it because mentally it's hard to unwind. But I know who God is, I can command my thoughts to be still. Amen? And this is part of that new creation power that we have, is we can control our body and our thoughts in a way that we couldn't before we got saved. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So remember the Sabbath and hallow it. Or remember, the word holy is another word for what? Holy, sanctified, is to set it aside, make it special. Okay? Holy is you're a special people. You're a holy people. A called out, separated people is the church. And that's what we are. We are a different breed than the average person. Amen? Not for that we're better. Everybody say, not that we're better, but we're adopted into the family of God. We're renewed because of what Jesus has done for us. Everybody has that same opportunity, but everybody has not accepted or taken advantage of it. It's just like, you guys know that Paul Allen died, right? You guys hear about that? You guys hear about that? Paul Allen was for a while the second richest man, but he's in the top 10. Let's just put it that way. And it would be like having an inheritance given you by somebody like Paul Allen, and you say, no, I don't want it. Let him keep his money. I don't want that. What does he think I am? Think I may want some money in this place. I mean, most people would think you were crazy. You saw the lottery went up to $1.2 billion, and people were buying it like crazy. Why? Because they want to win. But Jesus gives you life and life everlasting, and they say, I don't want that. I don't want to live forever. Well, I don't want what it takes to live forever. Now, we know that that's the devil teaching them, telling them that. But who in their right mind would not want to live forever? We're always trying to, they always want to give you a pill to extend your life 4 or 5 years. You know, take this and you can look like a 60-year-old if you're 90, and you can look like a 40-year-old if you're 60. You can look like a 30-year-old if you're 50, but they don't want eternal life. That's what they're after, but they're after it man's way, which cannot receive it. It only comes through God. So that's why we have to learn to receive the things that Jesus or God has provided. The next commandment, verse 12, is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. That's amazing how God put that commandment as a top 10. Why is honoring parents so important? Anybody? Because authority starts at home. If you don't learn authority at home, my friend, you're not going to learn it on the streets. The streets teach you a hard authority. Your parents love you. Your parents care for you. But the streets don't care anything about you. But you will learn to be disciplined whether they have to do it or not. If you go to prison, you don't get to get up when you want to get up. You don't tell them, turn the alarm clock off. I'm not ready to get up yet. They come in, you better get out of that bed. And then they'll lock the door so you can't go back into it. That's the kind of discipline you'll be taught if you don't learn it. If you go to work, you have to be disciplined. You can't be an undisciplined employee. You might say, well, how come you go to the jobs now and they don't have cubicles and people are throwing airplanes, paper airplanes around? Well, that's their culture. That's the way they think that they can help people to be imaginative, to be innovative. But you step out of bounds in that culture, you still get fired. There are boundaries, even though it looks like there aren't. Amen? Everything has a boundary to it in life. But then we act like there are no boundaries. How come you're trying to restrict me? How come you're trying? Because you need that for your own protection. Amen? So the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. And verse 13 says, you shall not murder. A lot of people have messed this commandment up and said, it's thou shalt not kill. It's not thou shalt not kill. It's thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between killing and murder. Amen? You can kill in self-defense, but it's not a crime. You kill in war sometimes, but that's not murder. But murder is where you plan and plot and kill somebody for your own purposes. That's what murder is. And the Bible specifically condemns murder. Because there are times where you have to go to war. There are times where you have to defend yourself. There are times where somebody might get killed accidentally. So that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about murder. Then it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery, of course, is having a relationship with a person that's not your spouse. Or you're married and you have a relationship with someone outside of your marital union. He made that a top 10. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, which is another way of saying don't lie on people. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, male servant, female servant, nor his ox, donkey, BMW, bank account, 401k, anything you can want that doesn't belong to you. Because covetous leads to theft. Amen? When you want something that somebody else possesses, it leads to theft. Amen? So this is the beginning of becoming a new creation, understanding what it is that you're supposed to do. Let's go to Acts 15. This is the part that I've talked about, that the Gentiles, now for those who have read this, and I know most of us have read the book of Acts, the book of Acts is the first book after Jesus died, after Jesus rose from the dead, and so the disciples are now running, doing what Jesus told them to do. And so the book of Acts, Paul is preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter is preaching the gospel. Most of the other apostles are preaching to the Jews. And so there's a conflict. What's the conflict? Real quickly, what's the conflict between that? Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Yeah, Jewish traditions. The Gentiles have nothing, don't have any idea what those are. And so after they're getting saved, the Jewish people are coming and saying, you guys got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to make sure you do everything that the traditions of the Jews require. And Paul was telling them, no, you didn't need to do that. And so they go to Jerusalem and they talk to the 12 and ask them this question. What are we supposed to do with these Gentile Christians? Do they have to keep the law or not? And Peter relates the story of Cornelius, where he went to preach to Cornelius, which is the first Gentile evangelistic crusade. And Cornelius received the baptism of the Holy Spirit without being circumcised. He was still a Gentile. And so after Peter relates that story, they come to the conclusion that they should not have to be circumcised. And this is written in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. This is commonly referred to as the first council of the New Testament church. Now, anybody know what a council is? It's a meeting of the leaders that pronounces how the church is going to deal with certain things. All right? This is the first one. Now, let me say this. Many of the ones after this were messed up. Okay, let's just throw it out like that. And if you want to read them, you can go Google the councils of the churches and you can read them. But some of them, the first few were good. A few later became crazy. But this one says, this is John. James was the leader of the church at this time. This was not James, John's brother. This is James, Jesus' brother. Because John's brother had been killed by Herod, if you remember earlier in the book of Acts. But it says, this is verse 24, since we heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Now, so this is what they were told the Gentiles to do. But now we know that Paul also taught some other things about lying, stealing. So lying and stealing still became things that the church has to observe. But he's telling them here the law does not have to be observed. Now, it's important they say this because the temple is about to be destroyed. In less than 10, 20 years after this, the temple was destroyed, the Jewish temple. So the law could no longer be kept. That's why God already had a pre-plan for the temple prior to the temple being destroyed. Because ever since 70 AD, the Jews have not been able to do Judaism without a temple. And when they captured Jerusalem in 1967, they wanted to build a new temple. And they have been looking for the site to do that since then. But they still haven't been able to do it. Because why? They are not really practicing biblical Judaism. They are now practicing what's called rabbinic Judaism, which means the rabbis tell them what to do, and they do it. But they're not following what the scriptures teach, because they can't. And why is that? Because Jesus has been the final sacrifice, and they don't need to make sacrifices, but they want to go back to the old tradition. Are you with me here? And these are things you don't know unless you read the Bible. And it's important because if you ever want to witness to a Jewish person, you need to understand where they're coming from so that you could show them why Jesus is the final sacrifice. Scriptures teaches it. The book of Hebrew talks about it. So, but it's important to know. So God told the church, this is what you need to do with the Gentiles. And then Paul comes and sends letters, and we have those letters, most of them. And he then instructs us to do other things that leads to our new creation lifestyle. So I know I've done a long introduction, but this is why I do this, because it's so important to know the scriptures. Everybody say, know the scriptures. And I don't count myself some great Bible scholar. I just have read the Bible. Now, I do read a lot of extra biblical works. I'm reading now a book on how the canon of Scripture, both old and new, was created. After I wake up from falling asleep on it. But I'm trying to go through it, trying to figure out how did they come up with the 66 books that we know as the Bible. But ultimately, I read the Bible on a daily basis. Daily. Everybody say daily. You can't go through the Bible in a year if you don't read it every day. But if you read only, was it 4 chapters a day, you can go through the Bible, the whole Bible, in 1 year. That's all it takes. Now, you might say 4 chapters. Yeah, sometimes 4 chapters got 18, 10 verses. Some of them got long verses. But for the most part, you can breeze through it. My wife and I, she takes 2, I take 2. Goes like that. And when we get to Psalms, when they're so short, we do 8. And we can finish in 10 months just by reading more Psalms, because Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. We can start in January and be finished in October. And it's just a discipline you have to do, because you have to make it a commitment. I was listening to one of those Bible answer shows. It wasn't the Bible Answer Man. It was a different one. And this guy called up and says, I just can't seem to want to read the Bible. I love to hear preaching, but I just can't bring myself to read the Bible. And the guy was scratching his head. How come you love to hear preaching so much but not read? He says, I don't know. I can't understand it. Well, I can understand it. The flesh doesn't want to do it. That's really what it comes down to. Your flesh doesn't want to be trained to do it. You would rather have somebody read it to you than to read the Bible. Well, he's got a solution now. It's called the audio Bible. Just turn it on and listen to it. That's all you got to do. I mean, if you don't like to read, just listen to it. The Bible says faith comes by how? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So you can get benefit if you just listen to it. But always we need to go over, because even preaching has to be weighed against what the scriptures teach. All preaching is not right. And you don't know that unless you know what the scriptures tell you. You can't have people telling you, you know, homosexuality is okay, and God doesn't care about people's sexual orientation. Those are lies. The scriptures are clear that you have to come out of that stuff to be born again. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, and you were this way. Let me read this and then we'll close. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. And we don't read this so people can feel bad, but the reality is sin makes you feel bad. And you need to come out of it. It says, do not Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It didn't say, they were born that way. Yeah, we were all born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't say what sin, but all have sinned. So it doesn't matter if you think you're born that way, you still need to be born again. That's what it's all about. So here he sets forth what, then he says, and which some of you, in verse 11, it says, and such were some of you, meaning we used to do those things. Amen? Can't you find yourself in that list? I know I see myself in that list. Huh? Look at it again. Drunkards, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, covetous, revilers, extortioners. I'm in that list. But I'm no longer in that list. I came out of it. Amen? Once I saw that that list is not a list that I want to be a part of. Because it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to inherit the kingdom, so I'm leaving that list to get to a new one. Amen? So we can't minimize the gospel because if we do, the life of the gospel will have no effect. You have to see the death that we're in so that the life becomes so great and grandiose to us. Amen? Because death is not death until you know you're dead. And once you realize I'm dead, I need to come out and be alive again. Amen? All right, I'm going to close down. But you see, and this is just, I'm just touching the surface here. This is what it costs to be a new creation. This is what it costs to live a new creation lifestyle. Got to understand what the old nature is so that you can combat it. It's like you got to know your enemy before you can know who to fight. Amen? And the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So anyway, I said I was closing, so let's stand. Amen. So as we open up the scriptures, as we open up to God to show us new things, the only way we're going to be able to understand the new thing he's showing us is to study the word. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that so much of the word is where we need to indulge ourselves and to surround ourselves, to immerse ourselves so that we can know the truth. And then once we know that truth will make us free. But it costs something to know something. We don't just know things by just observing and being vicariously involved with them. But we have to immerse ourselves in any subject we want to know. We know that we have to give ourselves to it. Otherwise, we won't be good at it. We always talk about sports and people that are professional athletes didn't just do it because it was a good pastime. They had to give themselves over to it. And Lord, help us to give ourselves over to eternal life. Help us to pay the price that you called us to pay, surrender our lives to you. That's what you told us we needed to do. That's the price we have to pay for your surrendering your life in our stead. So Lord, I pray for you to help us to see this, that as we surrender, you will give us the new creation, victorious life that you promised to give us. And we know it's not going to be without trouble. We know it's not going to be without turmoil and temptation. It's not going to be without stumbling and falling. It's not going to be always clean and pure and nice and sweet. We're going to have to get dirty, but we know, thank God, that you've washed us and you've cleansed us by your precious blood. So, Lord, take this time that we've shared, multiply it in our hearts, and give us a new hunger, a new thirst for your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. If anyone needs prayer, we can pray for you. Otherwise, we are dismissed.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.